Session number two, good and godly reasons for singleness. In session three, the next session, I'm going to address some of the practical reasons why some aren't married based on the negatives. There are negative reasons why people don't get married. But here, what I want to do in this session is counterbalance that one. So in this session, I want to look at some of the reasons for your singleness from a positive standpoint. Where I want to take you, and if you do have, a Bible with you or an app on your phone, in Matthew 19, really important text. I'm actually going to hit this text a little bit on Sunday. Jesus lays out the high standards related to marriage. So his whole discussion is about marriage. And in this, he talks about the high standards related to marriage, and he gives the one exception. Jesus gives the one exception here. There are other exceptions that Paul later addresses again in 1 Corinthians 7. But Jesus gives the one exception for divorce in Matthew 19. And his whole purpose of teaching on marriage in Matthew 19 is to address the ease of which people were getting divorced at the time. And in his teaching in Matthew 19, he says there's only one exception for divorce, and that is marital unfaithfulness. Unabashed, in your face, marital unfaithfulness. To which, and you can pick up the conversation on the screen with me, the disciples said to him in response, if such is the case of a man with his wife, it is better not to marry. Like, if that's the high call of marriage, Jesus, then it's better not to get married. Jesus responds and says to them, not everyone can receive this saying. What saying? It's better not to marry. Not everybody can receive this saying. And then he adds, but only those to whom it is given. I'll come back to that statement. It's a really important one. Then Jesus goes on to say, for there are eunuchs. I'll come back to talk about that, because we know that's not an expression that gets used a lot. I'm sure you didn't talk about eunuchs today with your friends or whatever, who have been so from birth. So there are eunuchs who have been so from birth, and there are eunuchs who have been made eunuchs by men, and there are eunuchs who have made themselves eunuchs for the sake of the kingdom of heaven. And then he ends by saying, let the one who is able to receive this, receive it. So first off, what is a eunuch? I'm sure I think that most of us know, but a eunuch in basic terms is a person who has castrated themselves physically or perhaps figuratively, and thus unable to have sex or have committed themselves to not having sex for the purpose of serving another. That's what a eunuch is. Usually a person of royalty, usually a person of privilege. So what Jesus does in Matthew 19 is he takes this imagery to speak of those who are single, who choose not to be married. That's what Jesus is talking about here. So let me explain this. As Jesus said, and he's just spoken of, regarding the high calling of marriage, and saying, this is the high call, here's the exception, and they respond, if that's the case, then it's better not to marry. Jesus, and I want you to hear this, Jesus tellingly doesn't disagree with them. Like, do you hear that? If that's the case, Jesus, it's better not to marry. Jesus doesn't go, whoa, 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 whoa. You're not hearing me correctly. Jesus doesn't say that. What Jesus says is not everyone can receive this saying. Only those to whom, and then he adds this, it has been given. This is the gift. This is where the gift of singleness is introduced in very plain terms in the Bible. Paul affirms this idea of a gift of singleness later, going back to 1 Corinthians 7, where he says in verse 7, I wish that all were as I myself am. Remember what he was? Single. But each has his own gift from God. One of one kind and one of another. So again, hear what Jesus is saying. He doesn't disagree with the disciples, but he does add that it's a hard call to remain single. It's so hard, in fact, it demands a heavenly gift set. Now, here's what I know about spiritual gifts. This is one most people don't want. Right? You know what I mean? Like tongues, give me tongues, man. Right? Healing. Give me healing. Singleness? No. I'm not pursuing that one. I don't want the gift. I don't want the gift of singleness. But here's what's interesting about this gift. It's a gift we all share, at least for a time. See, there's a good chance that some, perhaps many of you, will get married one day, just from a statistical standpoint. But one thing's for sure, all of us will be single. We'll start our life out as single, and most of us will end our life single. Unless we go out like Thelma and Louise, right? Just take the car off. Is that even, you guys don't even know that movie. You're like, Thelma and Louise. Thank you, brother. Thanks, man. I got one guy who was born before 1980 here. That's good. But most of us will. So in a very real sense, all of us are called to live a life of a eunuch, for a time at least, to serve the one who is our king. Again, for a time at least. But all of this only sets the stage in Matthew 19 for what comes next. Because what comes next is Jesus lays out four ways that one becomes a eunuch. Or to put it in terms of tonight, the ways one takes on the gift of singleness. So let me give them to you again if you're taking notes. Here's the first. Some are single from birth. In other words, there are eunuchs, Jesus says, who have been so from birth. The fact is, there are individuals who from the get-go have never had an inclination or a desire to be married. They don't want to be married. They don't want to have kids. They're happy remaining single forever, not for selfish reasons, but for kingdom reasons. Self, I think, to a question that was asked before about reasons not to be married. There are, if it's just because you're just into yourself, there's selfish motives behind it, you got to check that. But then there are reasons that just simply lead to great opportunity in what Paul talked about before. This is rare. There's no doubt about it, but it is a thing. This is the person whose sexual urges do not control him or her and are happy to remain single for a lifetime. I've seen this in missionaries especially over the years, but it's not exclusive to them. With their singleness comes the freedom to go and serve and not be weighed down with the pressure and commitment that comes with marriage and family, as we saw earlier. Maybe that's you. Maybe that's you. Don't be surprised, but be overjoyed that God has gifted you in such a wondrous way. Something to think about. Another reason that Jesus addresses, you're single by choice. What Jesus says as well is there are those who have made themselves eunuchs. So not from birth, you've made. So I too believe this is a gift, for it takes a unique anointing to carry this out. This is the person who has chosen to be single for a time or even for a lifetime in spite of the difficulty that it comes with. Again, missionaries oftentimes have this, and they've chosen their work over relationships, but once again, this is not exclusive to them. Doesn't have to be people who are missionaries or in vocational ministry or going over. It can be your life here. You don't want to be burdened with that because you want to give yourself to something else. What Jesus says is that's great. That's wondrous. It's not less than. It's a wondrous thing. Perhaps some of you have chosen purposely to remain single, at least for a time, because of the place where God currently has you, in spite of the urges you fight, and in spite of the desire you have to be married one day. Paul speaks of this, again, going back to 1 Corinthians 7, where he says, I think that in view of the present distress, it is good for a person to remain as he or she is. Perhaps where your life is right now, as you evaluate it, you go, no, I'm going to remain single. It's not, I'm going to school. I got debts. I got things I want to do. I got places I want to go. I want to experience this, or I feel called to this. So bringing someone else in the midst of this, it's just not good. Perhaps you're going through some health issues. Perhaps there's things going on in your family or with other relationships that you're tending to. And Paul says, in view of that present distress, remain where you are. I think there's some great wisdom in that. I would also include in this, and this opens up a whole other discussion, I know, those who have same-sex attraction and have chosen in faithfulness to God to remain celibate and pursue holiness. They have made themselves eunuchs, in other words, to serve the king in spite of the urges they live with. A third reason are those who are single by circumstances. I place this under Jesus' statement that there are those who have been made eunuchs by men. So it's not by choice, it's by others. I would include in this those who are divorced for reasons outside of God's allowances. This would be my counsel. So where marriage thereafter would be categorized as adultery. So because of the circumstances of their lives, they have entered a life of singleness. And then lastly, there are those who are single by calling. This is the singleness that comes for a season or for a lifetime from God, in spite of one's desire to be in a relationship. In other words, you're single now and you don't want to be. This is where most people fall. This is their category. You're not single by birth. You're not single by choice. You're not single by circumstances, but because God has you in this place. Again, as I've said many times already tonight, for a time, a season, or perhaps a lifetime. And I know some of you hate hearing that. But with that ringing in your ears, let me quote from the book Thrive, written by Lena Abu Jamra. I hope I'm saying her name correctly. And I put this on the screen. You can read it. She asks in that book, could it be that God has given you this gift of singleness to deepen your walk with him? Could it be that God wants to use your unfulfilled longings to draw closer to himself? In other words, could there be a purpose to this gift that God has given you? In other words, could it be that the reason for your singleness isn't because you're not pretty or handsome? You know what I mean? Like I've talked to enough people over the years who just question themselves. Right? Or maybe I'm just doing something wrong. Maybe I don't know how to do relationships. Or you aren't lovable or worth spending forever with. So could be the reasons be instead because God has something else in mind for you, for again, a time at least. Perhaps something he wants to reveal to you that will not only serve you now, but serve you in greater ways down the line, whatever down the line brings. Is that possible? Is it possible that God loves you that much? Of course it is. For those of you who struggle with your identity, can I remind you of who you are? Who each of you are. You are reverently, fearfully, and wonderfully made. You're knit and you're formed by the hands of God. You bear the image of God. You've been chosen. You've been bought by God Himself. You're a child of God. You're a co-heir with Christ. One day you will be like Christ. Your one-day position in the heavenly is so secure that Paul talks of it in present tense terms. Like it's already happened. That's how secure it is. You will judge the angels one day. You will reign with Christ one day. As I said, you will be like Christ one day. I realize that in this world, there will be people who won't give you or me the time of day, but the King of Kings is ready for you to knock on his door in the middle of the night and give you his undivided attention. You're his daughter. You're his son. His grace is sufficient, his spirit empowering, and his goodness is everlasting. That's who you are. That's who you are. But I know in saying this, it reminds us of how difficult this call is, especially when culture pressures you as much as it does. Or your body clock, right? Or your parents, well-meaning as they are. Or your sexual drive. A God-given, almost unparalleled drive that cries out daily, every second, at times it feels like, to be satisfied. That's why Jesus ends his teaching in Matthew 19 by saying, let the one who is able to receive this, receive it. Not all are. It is hard. It is hard. I also know that some of you want to yell out, easy for you to say, Funk. Right? Easy for you to say, man. Right? You're married. You're married. You got a couple kids. Easy for you to say, you don't know my life. You don't know how hard it is. And you're absolutely right. I don't. And if I ever infer that I do, you need to forgive me if I do. But would you be willing to consider that perhaps the strength required to remain single when you want just the opposite is similar to the strength required to be and remain married when things have gone bad? I don't know your life, but I do know what it means to fight in battle. When everything else inside of you wants to flee. By God's grace, we stay in these places in the midst of difficulty. It's hard at times, at least, to be single, but it's also hard at times to keep fighting for your marriage. And so my point is, we need each other. We need each other. We need God's strength. We need God's help wherever we're at. Some of you have been raised by parents who didn't fight to stay together. Right? They gave up, perhaps. My call to you in your singleness is don't give up if God's called you to it. He is sufficient in his grace, in his power, and his infilling for the sake of his name and our good. That's session two. It goes by fast. Do we need to take a break? Should we take a 2-minute pee-pee break or something like that? Let's take like a 2-minute pee-pee break, all right? Not more than 2 minutes. Three minutes and we're going to start. Let's take it.